Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Gabrielle Union strived for the perfection her father always demanded, but as a dark-skinned Black girl, she never felt like she was enough. In our new series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she learned to embrace the things that scared her and let go of her need to be perfect.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about, honey, old bros. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing, you little honey pie?
I'm doing great, thanks. Just a Monday after a crazy weekend.
Crazy weekend. We had the best time this weekend. We went to New York, where we both have family and friends, and just partied our faces off. Had a great time with you guys who came out to Town Hall to see that Jersey recap with Marge. The Marge from Real Housewives of New Jersey. That was an epic show. We had an amazing time. You guys are fantastic to us. Thank you so much. Thanks to Marge for coming. Then we went to D.C. And we actually owe an apology to D.C. because there was some kind of weird sound thing that made it sound like D.C. was just the shittiest audience and like they didn't laugh. They had no reaction. And it literally sounds like we're yelling to a room of non-laughing people. That could not be further from the truth. That was one of the craziest audiences we've actually ever had. It was insane. It was a 2.5 hours recap on Vanderpump Rules. The longest show we've ever done.
And it was also like everyone was with it. Like the entire show, people were like totally present. And there was like loud laughs, loud applause, loud like boos at Sandoval. But like the audio track had like a psh on it. So we had to put a filter to get rid of the psh. And unfortunately, that filter also took out a lot of the audience. So, we gaslit you all by making it sound like there was no audience. But there was a big, loud audience.
And it was such a fun show. So even if it sounds a little awkward at times, go listen. Because it was a really, really good, funny show. What else was I going to say about that? The good thing about that is we found this effect to get rid of that noise. We had to play with sound a lot, and we did find a way to at least minimize audience. So when the audience is too crazy, and sometimes that makes you guys crazy listening to that audio, we found a way to minimize. So it led to good things, is what I'm saying. Anyway, it was an epic weekend. Great time. We have three crazy weekends left, and then we're done. Okay. We start June 9th. In San Diego. We're going to start small. Just go to San Diego, chill by the beach, okay? Then we're going to St. Paul and Chicago and Columbus in the same weekend. And then the very next weekend, we are ending in Boston and Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. That's our big finale show. Big crappin' show, big gambling show. Going to be doing a lot of gambling there. Foxwoods is gorgeous. So everybody come out for the final tour stops. You can get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. That's also where you will find our links to our Patreon, which is where all of our bonus episodes live and all of our Crappens on Demand videos. We are thinking of expanding Crappens on Demand and changing up how we do video. So listen for announcements later this week on how we're going to do that, because we really love doing the video stuff. What else, Ben? Oh, this week's bonus episode. There's so many things on right now. A lot has to be moved to bonus, and that's just how it is. There's only so much hours in a week. So we are moving this week for one bonus episode. We're going to be talking about Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. We're going to be talking about Below Deck Sailing from this week. And we're also going to be talking about Dancing Queens, our new favorite show. So that's on the bonus. Don't miss it.
Yeah, just to clarify, it's Summer House, Martha's Vineyard we're going to be talking about, not Summer House and Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. Because regular Summer House will still be on the main feed. And by the way, main
feed bonus.
No, but you had enough of a pause that it sounded like a comma. So I just wanted to clarify. I just wanted some comma clarifications.
Okay.
That's going to be actually very fun. I'm excited to talk about all the shows.
Yes, they're all fantastic right now. Bravo's giving us so much. But you know what? It's Let's finish out what we've got. Like, don't start something new until they've, you know, you can't have dessert until you've finished your dinner. Okay? So we're finishing our dinner this month. So today is, speaking of finishing your dinner, actually, I don't think anyone finished their dinner. But there will be new dinners to finish over at Blaze Restaurant on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
An elevated steakhouse. Wow, that scene actually cracked me up. That was my favorite scene of the episode, but we're going to get to that.
Okay, well, thanks for leaving us hanging. We're at Real Housewives of Atlanta. We have just left off at the Great Depression party, which I don't know how anybody ever thinks these things are going to work out well. The Gatsby-themed party, whatever. Well, they didn't call it the Gatsby this time, though, did they?
No, this was Harlem Nights party. So Eddie Murphy kind of throwback. There was actually like a reference
to
Della Reese getting her toe getting blown off last week, which I appreciated.
My God.
That was my introduction to Della Reese. It was her getting her toe shot off in that movie.
Well, yeah. So sorry for calling it Gatsby. That was tacky of me. So same era, better film. So that's good. Harlem Nights.
So Kenya is fighting with Martell. Or she's about to fight with Martell, I should say. She's actually not doing it just yet. But she is talking about the fact that Martell slid into her DMs, and she's telling Sheree this. And she says it was at least 6 months ago. And Kenya was like, well, it was before you, and I don't want you hearing it from anybody else. And I don't want you to think I'm being untruthful. And if it was something about any guy I'm dealing with, I want you to tell me.
Well, how would they be hearing it from somebody else if you hadn't been telling everybody else, Kenya, first of all? You know, Kenya's gotten so smooth with her whole, like, I'm not starting anything, that I've actually started to believe it. No, ma'am. You are over here. Now, listen, everybody already knows shit about Martell. It's all over the internet. It's, like, not new that he's a pig, first of all. But still, Kenya waits until the first full cast party to bring this info up to embarrass Sheree. Yeah. You know, it's very typical Kenya.
Yeah. So meanwhile, Candy and Courtney are still sort of like, their fight is like, is sort of having its denouement, which is basically Candy yelling at Courtney, you bitch! you bitch! So it's they're being separated. Screaming,
you bitch. And some guy goes, what happened? And Candy's like trying to explain it. And she goes, this bitch keeps doing this. And like pouncing her head in my face. And she's like doing a crazy head bop. And then we cut back to Martell, who Sheree's called over now. So Martell's like, what are they telling you? And she's like, so they pulled me to the side and they told me that you are dating someone else in Atlanta. And he goes, well, every time I'm in Atlanta with you, so that other girl's getting the short end of the stick. And I was like, That's definitely how to deal with this. Like, maybe I am, but I'm still treating you better than I am her, baby.
I mean, the other girl's getting the short end of the stick. I mean, Martell, I mean, have some confidence in what you're working with down there. You know, maybe it's the long end of the stick. Come on now. So Sheree is like, one of Candy's minions has some tea on Martell. But what else would they be doing if they weren't talking about me? They thought they would ruffle my feathers, but we're wearing feathers tonight. That's right. Feather burn.
We're not ruffling feathers. We're wearing feathers. Ruffles have ridges. Feathers do not have ridges. I love ruffles. Wasn't that her thing last year, Lay's? She's just going to move on to a new chip every year. Wasn't her thing last year like, you know what I love? Lay's. Like out of nowhere, Sheree started loving Lay's and talking about Lay's for 10 minutes.
Maybe we can have like a John Pringle crossover episode. Like, because we never really found out what happened to John Pringle midway through Southern Charms. He just like wanders in like, hey, I'm John Pringle. I hear there's an open bar here at this Harlem Nights party. I love a Pringle. Love a Pringle.
Who's that man over there wearing a Will Work for Beer sign? Is that a Pringle over there? Bring him over here. So, basically, Martell's like, listen, we're not going to worry about whoever you guys are talking about, okay? That's non-existent. And Moneta's saying, oh, really? Non-existent? Okay, so that's what you're sticking with. And goes, yeah, I'm not going to say now she was never an issue. This was never a person. There was never even a person.
Yeah, exactly. He's just sort of denying it and like about this girlfriend. And so then Sonia.
Fucking A, Ben. Sonia.
I'm turned around. Sonia is checking in on Candy, and Marlo is still doing that thing. Marlo is still, like, all she's done this entire episode is just stand by the crap table and be like, You're just like doing the most obvious side eye listening in thing. It's like, she's like in a silent film and they're like, okay, Marlo, you have to listen in on someone. And since we can't talk, you have to really sell it. So she's like very obviously eavesdropping.
Well, Marlo is also doing that second season thing where after you've had a really rough first season, where you come back and you try to pretend that you've been therapized. I mean, we've seen it on so many Housewives. The most notable, I think, was Leanne Locken when she came back and she's like, "Dome, I got a bail now because I'm a person who likes bida. Dome." And you always now know that playing this role. It's not going to last.
Yeah. You always know you've changed when you start to tell people that you're a good person. That's when you know you're a good person because you've said it.
Yeah. Moneta also, it looks like Moneta is going to add more to this season, but she's not really. She's moving people in and out like she's a secretary. She's like going up to the fights and introing people in and out of the fights. Like that last one with Martell, she's like, oh, okay, so you're clarifying you were never with this person. Okay, you're going to stick with that. Okay, you need to say less now. Okay, hold on. Let's go ahead and bring other people in. We're ready now. You can come on in. Bring your bottled water with you. That's okay.
She's like running a focus group of anger, of like, arguments. So Marlo, meanwhile, she's watching Candy and Courtney, and she's like, these bitches are like J-Lo and Mariah. I don't know her. Who is she? What's her name? And then her earring falls off. She's like, well, my earring doesn't know me. That's sad. I'm a good person, earring. Bitch earring.
So Sonia checks in on Candy and she's like, are you okay? And Candy's like, I am fine. Why would that girl bounce her head in my face? And Sonia's like, oh yeah, look, I don't know. I just met her this week with Sheree. And Don Juan, of course, is there. So he's like, oh, that's why. She's Sheree's friend. That's why she's bouncing her head. That's why. She's a Sheree head bouncer, everybody. Sheree head bouncer.
Yeah, and Candy is like annoyed because she's like, you know, why didn't Sonia tell me that like this girl who I don't know is who has an issue with me is gonna be at this party? Like we're both gonna be there. Why wouldn't you give us a head up? Why wouldn't you give me a heads up? Like this is just like you just let me walk into this messy situation.
And Don Juan's like, yeah, she should bounce back to the factory. They could get her some clothes done. I was like, oh, God, Don Juan, you're losing your grip, okay? You're losing your grip. So then Ralph is over talking to Ross, and he's like, here's my present. Vanilla Hennessy cigars. Yeah.
He's like, now here's what you got to do with cigars. You can't inhale them, okay? You cannot inhale them. I just learned this at like 10 minutes ago. Explained so much. It's like, thanks, Ralph. Thanks. So then we go to Sonia, and she goes up to Sheree, and she's like, Sheree, oh my God, you missed it. Like, Courtney and Candy, like, they were, Candy was about to fight her, and Sheree, and she's like saying how Candy just like walked out of here, and Sheree's like, what? And then Kenya goes up to Candy, and she's like, what's going on? And Candy's like, this girl just told me I have to calm the fuck down. And Kenya's like, oh, well, she's very animated when she talks, actually. That explains a lot of the bouncing. And they just show Courtney, like, her head bobbling around like she's on a dashboard.
They started having to play only instrumentals because her head bopped with every lyric that was coming out of the speakers before.
So she's Marlo, like a literal karaoke machine thing.
So Marlo's at the tables and she's like, Marlo's more proof that positivity just doesn't work. So everybody should just give it up. Because Marlo's that person at the tables who's like, oh yeah, here we go. This is Birkin money. I win. Wait a minute. Why are you taking my money?
I know. She's yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm winning. How am I? What's going on? And then she does the, how am I the only one at this party behaving? I'm like appalled. Therapy works. I'm telling you, seek it. And then you can become a very good person because you just said you're a very good person.
You're not supposed to take therapy at the beginning of your Housewives journey, okay? That's for when it's all done. Okay, ask Lisa Rinna in the bouncy room, okay, or wherever the hell she is now. Okay, you wait until you're done, Marlo. So then Sheree goes to the group of girls, and Kenya's like, well, my girl's not happy right now, Sheree, because you brought a girl that bounced her head to lyrics. And Sheree's like, what happened? Did they play the Mambo number 5? It's a lot of head bouncing. It's a lot of head bouncing in that song.
It's also a comprehensive list of all the people that Martell has DM'd lately.
Martell's already submitted a list of ladies he has DM'd that I no longer care about. So,
original name of the song was actually Martell number 5.
Mm.
So, it doesn't really make sense, but just sounded funny. So then Sheree's like, oh, so what happened? And Candy's like, well, I don't want to relive this. So Sonia's like, Sonia like interrupts. She's like, I changed my outfit to change the vibe. And they're like, woo, yay, Sonia. Sonia's just so excited that she has different looks and that she has like non-Party City things up on the walls for this party. She's so excited.
She does. This is like the first party she's thrown her kids that's not at a park. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like my mom. When we transitioned from the park to the bowling alley, my mom acted yep. like she was, you know,
yep.
you know, living in Downton Abbey.
That is such a true natural arc of child's birthday parties. Like when you get old enough to go to the bowling alley. Was it your aunt's bowling alley?
Put a coaster down. Don't forget to put a coaster under that Coca-Cola, please. This is a bowling alley.
You know what? Bowling alleys are great venues for birthday parties. I know this is not shocking since like it's like a thing that everyone does at some point in your life, but I feel like as we're adults, like when I throw a birthday party, I haven't thrown a birthday party in a few years, but like it's always like, what's a cool bar? Like where can we go? What's a cool scene? You know what? Fuck it. This year I'm gonna do it at a bowling alley. Why not?
Well, bowling alleys used to be, and real bowling alleys are still the best, but now they have these newfangled bowling alleys that they're like, yeah. It's a hipster place.
Yeah.
With bowling, and then it's like $1 zillion to bowl.
Yeah.
That's not great. But there's still real bowling alleys out there. Yeah, it was my grandparents, my family business, the bowling alley. So we all grew up working there and stuff. My mother thinks, and she might be right, that she came up with the idea of Midnight Bowl. I don't know. Moonlight Bowl.
I love
it. You know, where they turn off the lights and everything's painted in black lights, and then there's like disco lights.
I've actually never been to an official Moonlight Bowl, but I have gone to like you said, like the hipster, like bowling alleys, like Lucky Strike, where everything is dark and it's like cocktails, you know, which is fine. But I want like old school bowling alley where they're playing like Duran Duran or like Wham or something like that. And nothing really works, you know, and you pick and the bowling balls have names on them that you don't understand. Like I remember once picking up a bowling ball that said Ruth and I just loved it. I was like, Ruth.
Yeah, because they just keep those old bowling balls in circulation. Because if you sand off the names, then you're going to change the shape of the ball. So they have to keep the names in there. So Ruth, there's a lot of Ruths.
Ruth?
Yeah, I mean, I hope whoever's got the good old Ramona is very proud of it. Because my grandmother, I still have my grandmother's bowling trophy. I'm holding it up to the camera right now.
Oh, you got that right there. Yeah, ready to go. Got
my grandma's little bowling trophy. I keep it for good luck. Okay, so anyway, everybody, so they're now talking about the aftermath of this fight, right? So Kenny is like, Sheree, no one's happy you brought this girl. And Candy doesn't want to relive it. And Sheree's like, well, okay, here's what happened. The girls pulled me to the side to tell me about Martell dating someone in Atlanta. And Candy's like, well, you said you'd want to know. And she goes, well, I do want to know, but I don't want to just know the gossip. I want the receipts of it. I need the receipt. So Sonia's like, you know what? I'm out of this because this is my husband's birthday party and I'm above this. So even though I kind of started all of this on purpose and no one would say I didn't have a storyline in a Party City this year, I'm now leaving. Bye-bye.
Yeah, she's like, tonight's supposed to be about Ross, so I'm not going to be part of this. I'm like, you know what? It's not about Ross, because if we're about Ross, it wouldn't be on TV. If we're about Ross, you would literally have a different party that's not on TV, not on your TV show. You're on your TV show. This is about you on your show. This is an excuse. I declare it.
And you know that Ross is pissed that they just spent $100,000 on a party. He's like, excuse me? Do you know how many cars that is to park? Or whatever.
Yeah.
What's his business in Austin, the concierge business?
He's like a valet or something. Yeah. He has like a valet service.
Yeah, he owns a
company. Or something like that. But he's just, you know, he would have been happy just to go to Topgolf, right? Like he did not need any of this. So Candy is like, so Sheree, not that it matters, but how did you feel about Martell sliding up in Kenya's DMs? Candy just being like just deeply messy. And Sheree is like, well, he tried to DM you, right? And Candy's like, yeah, he did, and she didn't accept it.
Yes. So basically, Sheree's like, listen, she's trying to say that you sent her a message and erase a message. And then Martell goes, who's saying that? You, Kenya? Can you talk? Can you talk by yourself? Why is everyone else talking for Kenya? So he comes up already starting some mess with some women. Now, I know that they started it by bringing up the DMs, but this is not how you do it. And I'm Team Kenya on this the entire time. What a jackass this guy is. So Kenya's like, well, you're pretty aggressive, Martell. I'm afraid of you, Martell. Which is when Kenya's just been waiting for this, and now she's going to use this against you. And for someone who's obviously studied this show to get on it, like to actually go try and date multiple people to get on this show, you should know better than to bait Kenya like this, because you're just going to look like an idiot.
He fell into like the most obvious trap.
Totally.
Like it was like a giant piece of cheese on a novelty-sized mousetrap, and he still went for it.
Yes.
So he's like, well, I guess if someone's accusing you of something, like you can defend yourself. I think that's the way it's supposed to go. And she's like, I'm not accusing you of anything. And he's like, well, so go in the messages right now. Like, I bet she's accepted everyone's message. And that's like the most offensive thing you could say to a Real Housewife, that you'd be thirsty enough to accept all the messages in your request folder.
Yeah, so he's basically calling her whore, I guess. Like, yeah, go ahead and look. You'll see that she's accepted everyone's. Yeah, that's a real DM acceptor over there. Slut.
I think, like, at best, he's accusing her of being thirsty, and at worst, he's accusing her of being a whore. So, either way,
but
she does not like
worse,
that.
Even worse, if she, like, you're saying that she would accept everyone's DMs but yours. She never accepted yours. So, he's also putting himself down. This guy's just not very bright.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, she's accepting every single person, but she even, like, the line that she draws is with Martell. So. Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin'.
From Wondery comes a new series, Flipping the Bird, Elon versus Twitter, a story about what happens when the richest man on the planet decides to acquire a powerful social media company in the name of free speech. But does he have what it takes?
It started off promising.
Or is this all just about Elon?
He's essentially mad that his tweets aren't performing as well as he would have expected them to.
It really just felt like, okay, this really is just a platform being ruled by a dictator who does things on his own whims.
And what will be left of Twitter by the time he's done?
Basically, my entire team was gone. By the end of it, infrastructure was just completely gutted. He'll, like, tweet a thing, and then everyone's like, we gotta work on that now, because he tweeted it.
I'm supposed to believe this man is a genius.
It just felt like everything was kind of descending into chaos.
Follow Flipping the Bird wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to episodes ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
It's commercial.
So Kenya's like, he just insulted me. He said I accepted everyone's message. I don't accept everyone's message. How could he say that about me? Are you denying that you slid in there? Are you denying? And he's like, yeah, I am denying it. So then he's like, gives her even more ammo on this stupid ass fight.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm denying it. I don't know you. So Candy's like, oh, okay, cool. He denied it. Pull it up. Moneta's like, coming, ma'am. It's coming right away. And so Martell pulls out his phone and goes, oh, you know what? I did DM you. My bad. 2 years ago. Oh, that was 2 years ago. So you said it was 6 months ago, but it was 2 years ago. So now you're a lying whore.
Lying whore. Lying whore over here. Yeah. And by the way, Kenya said at least 6 months ago, which I had even forgotten about, because Martell said you said 6 months ago. So I believe that that's what Kenya had said. But even in my notes at the top of the show, I had written what she had said, which was at least 6 months ago. And then, of course, it's clarified later. So anyway, in 2020, he wrote, I appreciate the kind words when you were live with so-and-so. So that's what this is all about.
No. He was saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to like no, say, you I didn't say
I didn't
it wrong.
I didn't take it like that.
But he said,
why are you so aggressive?
I know, right? I'm like already caught up in this.
I'm scared.
Yeah. So it says, I appreciate the quote unquote kind words when you were on live talking about me. So in other words, he was coming at her in 2020, making a joke, but also coming at her for coming at him for how he was behaving on his show. So he was already trying to start fights with Kenya back in 2020. So this is funnier because he's not trying to get in, like try and fuck Kenya. He's trying to start some fight with Kenya, which I think is even funnier, you know, because that's so reality. That's so reality.
Exactly. And she recognizes that. And she's like, I'm a way bigger star than this guy is. And he's going to try to like start something with me so that way he can bring his star up because he's fighting with me, Kenya Moore. So I'm just not even going to accept this because it's stupid.
Right. Like I'm not fighting with someone from Love and Marriage Whoville. Are you fucking kidding me? Fuck this guy.
Whoville. So Candy Candy's like, well, Martell showing his version of the DM means nothing to me. I mean, he could have easily deleted the other part that she told us about. Like, I saw her DM. She had not touched it at all. And then we see the flashback from last week where we see that she actively hits accept. Like that she had never even had responded or done anything up until that very moment on camera.
So she's like, well, whenever it was, you still did it. And he goes, well, I don't care if I tried to fuck you 2 years ago. Why are you talking about that? That was 2 years ago. Who cares? And she's like, why am I talking about it? Excuse me. And then Sheree does her, oh, no, 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 So Martell's like, who cares if I tried to fuck you 2 years ago? Which I think is a valid argument. I mean, we're getting a little too crazy here, guys. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of, yeah.
Kenya says you DM'd her. You did DM her. Kenya suggested you were trying to fuck her. Okay, that wasn't the best thing. But now you're acting so defensive about it. Why don't you just say, I did DM her. She talked shit about me. And I was just saying, like, what's up? Why is that so hard? Like, why does it have to be this big argument?
Yeah, but he just keeps on giving her ammunition. And, you know, you just can't, Kenya's too good at this, you know? And so he's like, so what if I, you know, like, whatever, if I tried to fuck you, like, I don't care if I was trying to fuck you 2 years ago. And she goes, did you just cuss at me? Did you cuss at me? Like, what did you say to this queen standing in front of you?
and he's trying to walk off, but she, of course, chases him down because she got a fuck out of him. So now she can be like, you said that to a queen standing in front of you? You did it to your ex-wife and you're going to do it to Sheree too. I was like, wow. Kenya's already using her fifth episode ammunition because, you know, normally Kenya will let a garden grow. She will plant something in the beginning, wait for it to start, you know, coming to harvest in the fall, and then she'll serve that up as a delicious dish in the wintertime when things are getting cold, you know?
A ratatouille of shade and anger. So Martell, so she's like, yeah, you did it to your wife, you're gonna do it to Sheree. And he said, but you said it was 6 months ago and it wasn't. And she goes, that's the truth, once a cheater always a cheater, you motherfucking piece of shit. I was like, there's the trailer moment.
So she's saying, Sheree, that's the same type of man you've dealt with before, he's just like Bob. And then we see a clip of a scene with Bob in the car. Do you remember this? This was so horrible.
Oh, of course I do.
And Kenya's sitting in the back seat. And Bob goes, oh, come on. Have I ever choked you? And she goes, you have. And Bob's like, could you still breathe? And Kenya's like, that's not funny, Bob. And he goes, well, maybe I didn't choke you hard enough. I mean, oof.
Yeah, it was Jesus. Bad.
That was
terrible,
rough.
Terrible moment. And so, and Sheree clearly has some damage in her life that she is drawn to these piece of shit men, okay? So Sheree is like, listen, you are trying to create a narrative. When 2 years ago, he wrote, thank you for your kind words, which is funny because, as you clarified, he was being sarcastic when he said, thank you for your kind words. He was not being, like, lovely and sweet.
Right, and Kenya's like, well, yeah, but look, we all know opening a DM is trying to open a conversation with somebody when you DM them. And Sheree's like, well, I'm heated. I just wanted to introduce Martell, and then it went left. And I'm not happy with Kenya trying to embarrass me or Martell, which I think is valid. I think Sheree's got a valid point there. Unfortunately, you're dating a drama queen reality star who's going to make as much of this as he can. You know, and this sounds super insecure, but I'm going to say it anyway. I get Sheree in a way, but I've learned that when it's too easy, first of all, when someone is too hot, okay, and I'm not saying Sheree's not hot because Sheree's fucking hot, but this guy's really cute, I think. Yeah. When he's too hot, when he's too nice, and when he's making too much effort, you fucking want something. That's it. Okay. Yeah. Men are just not like that. They don't come like that. They are a pain in the ass. They take a lot of work. They smell a little funny at first and they eat weird. And there's a lot that you have to get used to. No one's really that excited at first. A real relationship, I feel like everyone's always asking their friends, like, should I? Is this real? He smells like white chocolate. I didn't even know that was a smell, but I don't like it. You know what I mean? This guy's too easy. Yeah. It's not real.
So either way, now it's the next day. It's a new day. It's post Harlem Nights, And Ralph is making a bouquet with his daughter because he's on a mission to rehabilitate his image again. So he's doing like lots of smiles and doing things like making bouquets with his daughter, which is hilarious.
And Ralph and Marlo probably literally had like phone meetings to plan out their seasons with each other. It's like, everyone hates us. What are we going to do? You know, because they're both doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but what's funny with Ralph is that it's so deeply transparent. And on top of that, in case people didn't hear, Ralph and Drew filed for divorce in like the beginning of March. Like they were lucky. They got buried by Scandoval. Scandoval happened like a day after Ralph and Drew filed for divorce. So all of this stuff that they're talking about this episode, like we're better than ever. All these big smiles, making bouquets. It's just like a hilarious con game, which is so on brand for Ralph.
And Drew. Both. They're both fucking con artists. Yes. Drew with her fucking stupid fake diet and everything too, you know? But his smile is just so, honey, look, we made you flowers. We miss you so much, babe. And then he knows he could replay that clip and show what a good person he is because he's literally probably recording it still on hidden cameras that he watches like Dr. Evil up in his room every night.
Yeah, so Drew comes home and Ralph's like, look who it is! Yay, it's mommy! Wow, Drew, so happy to see you! And they're like hugs and kisses and smiles and stuff. And Drew has just been in Chicago because her dad has Alzheimer's and he's been in a nursing home, so she's been tending to him. And she tells them, you know, she shares a sort of a really sad, you know, how sad it is to see him in a wheelchair, but that like he'd listened to some music and he had like a flash of recognition. It made him laugh. He had a flash of recognition when he saw his wife. It was sad.
You know, it's super interesting. My grandma just passed and she had Alzheimer's. And it was really sad to watch. But something super interesting about it that I learned was people who lose their memory like that, they might not remember you or anything. But if you start playing music, like she knew every word to every song that we played her from her time. And I just think that's so interesting because that's kind of what supposedly sparked Drew's grandfather was when they played music and said, this is your daughter. It's like there's like some code in music that can wake you up to things.
Yeah.
It's like Moon River. First time I fucked your papa. It's like, whoa, where'd that come from? You didn't know my name 5 minutes ago. Jeez.
Whoa. Access some things there. Whoa.
So, this is actually sad. So I'm sorry to make jokes, but it is really cool. So anyone who's going through that, use music because it is an interesting tool. So then they start talking about Drew's new music career. Okay. Because guys, now I'm going to diet and it's all based on musical notes. Drop it with Drew. Drop 10 pounds and an octave in 5 days.
Every good boy deserves fresh salad. Out with the fudge.
Nothing tastes as good as a G chord feels.
Oh, yeah, Drew. Drew is a musician. Do we forget already how LeBron James would listen to her music and then score points for basketball teams?
So she tells us about all the times that she tried music. But, you know, every time she tried, her confidence broke down because she just wasn't making it. And then Ralph, who is supposedly rich, being an investor or a finance person, is now glomming onto her thing again. Like, isn't it bad you've already glommed onto her children to write a book about step-parenting? By the way, would you already divorce the mom you wrote the book?
The step-in-parenting. Okay, chapter one. Here's how to deal with your stepchildren. Divorce the mom! The end.
Yeah. So then, after you've refused to sign the papers, by the way, for 2 years, after you made a whole book about it. Fucking weirdo.
That's true.
So then she talks about how, yes, she's an actress, but it's really music that lives inside of her, you know? And she was just signed to so many labels, you guys. Like, it's crazy. And then we see pictures of her, you know, actually having starts in that industry, right?
Yeah, and she was in a girl group called Motempo. And she recently released a single. That's right. I mean, is there any coincidence that LeBron James is leading the Lakers deep into the playoffs? Because she just released a single, and it's called You Already Know. which is really based off of, it's based off of the trajectory of her marriage with Ralph. You already know.
Yeah, you already know. Like we do. Spoiler alert, we're getting divorced. And she's like, and it's written and produced by my husband, Ralph Pittman. First of all, if you're going to be a producer, you can't be a Pittman. I'm sorry. You have to change your name.
Change the name.
Yeah, it's just not
like, call it Ralph P or something. Or,
unless you're going to be selling peaches or plums or olives. Like, you can't be named a Pittman. You can't. You know what I mean?
And you can literally do anything. Like, there's DJ Mustard. DJ Mustard has been assaulting us with his music for years. Like, DJ Mustard, okay? Like, if there can be a DJ Mustard, why don't you be like DJ Aioli, DJ Velveeta, DJ, like, Crushed Tomatoes.
Yeah, delicious.
Choose anything.
But Pittman, I don't believe Pittman. No. It just doesn't work. Or maybe just take your name and be like R. Alf, you know? Because everyone loves Alf.
How about King Ralph? Like a nice reference to a John Goodman movie?
Yeah, but also if you're going to make a single, maybe don't put your husband on the single. Like, he's posing in the poster of the single like he's in the song. You don't. What's happening? What's happening with this?
Hire a male model. Get Bolo. Bolo. He's available.
Yes. Now there is somebody who should make a single. Okay. It's just slaps on a desk with his dick. Okay. That's all we need. That's the only thumping I need.
He could just do like Appalachian songs that and just replace the spoons with just dick on desk.
Yeah.
Clack, 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 clack.
So Drew's like, okay, so what did I miss? You went to Ross's party, right? And he's like, well, first of all, I was looking fresh to death. And she's like, oh, really? Did anyone try and hit on you? No, but next best thing, if this was Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, he found a cousin.
Yeah. And that cousin is on a healing journey. Yeah, Ralph realized that Courtney is his cousin. And all of a sudden we get a Courtney interview and she's like, my dad's sister is Ralph's grand aunt. It's like, okay, calm down. She's like, her head's like bouncing all over the screen.
Yeah. And Drew said, oh my God, your cousin was the one that got in that fight with Candy? Figures must run into blood. Those fitments, they're crazy. Don't tell me she produces music too.
She does. So then we go to Sonia at a restaurant with Candy. And they're like talking, and they're talking about how they want to do more stuff with kids because they actually went to Disney together. Candy had texted the group and was like, does anyone want to go to Disney? And Sonia was the only one who took her up on the offer, which is crazy. But I guess not a lot of them have. Drew has little kids. I'm surprised. I can't believe Drew did not take up what I imagine was be a free trip. Maybe it wasn't a free trip. So then they're talking about that.
I'm sure it wasn't free. I think that it was like, I think it's just like, do you care about hanging outside of work? And I think Sonia's like, yes, I don't think I was received as well as I should have been season one. Please be my best friend.
That's true too. And so they also were like, the idea of like walking around Epcot Center with like a mini vibrating Epcot in my cooch, not so exciting because I know Candy's going to push that on me.
Well, also, you know, going with Todd, you know, any country you walk into, Todd's going to be like, I have a restaurant from this country.
I'm surprised Todd hasn't tried to start up an amusement park in Atlanta.
Wow, Mexico. I'm opening a Mexican food restaurant, actually. It's really interesting. So this is what you call a churro, huh? I do it a little differently.
Old lady churro. So,
anybody here have a crab burger? Crab burger in any of these countries? All right, that's what I told you, Candy.
So then they're talking about how Candy's talking about she has all sorts of stuff to do today and that there's BravoCon this week, which I thought was so odd that they promoted BravoCon like within the show, but then it turns out next week there's actually storyline that comes out of the old lady gang talking shit about Todd at BravoCon. So I guess they had to plant the seed today.
Yeah. So Sonia is going through, Candy goes through her storyline, I'm busy. And then Sonia goes through her storyline, but there's so many people living in my house. So they both do that. And then Candy's talking about Todd's million projects and all of that. And Sonia's like, it's like they don't express what they want. And then they do express what they want. It's like, wow, that's crazy. It's communication. So then they move over to the party. And Candy's like, so this girl starts looking like some fucking bobblehead with me. And then Sonia's like, okay, well, let me tell you what happened. So I saw a charades. And she said that place that y'all go to, you went. And then you brought the whole hood in there. And then we see a clip of this girl going, you know that place, Tropicali? Well, she shared a story about it on Instagram and the crowd, boom, the next week, ghetto. The crowd turned ghetto. And Sheree's like, ooh, ghetto.
And they all laugh.
They start cracking up because she's accusing her of only having ghetto fans.
Quote unquote. And so Candy's, yes. And so Candy's like, well, when she said the crowd was ghetto, what did you say? And Tanya's like, I said that, you know, Candy's my friend. And I said, you have to have a conversation with her. And that's what she did. And then they come back to that scene again. And you just see, like, Sonia reacting. She's just laughing along with everyone else. Like, she totally did not say that.
And Sonia's like, well, she says, so you didn't stand up for me? And Sonia's like, I did. I feel like I told. Okay, so don't lie. Whenever someone says, I feel like, that's an absolute lie. I feel like I told her, and I said, I don't feel Candy would have liked that or something. So Candy doesn't buy it, right?
And Sonia has this whole excuse, which is really ridiculous. She's like, well, to be honest, I didn't feel like she was calling Candy ghetto. Almost to me, I thought she was trying to make reference to the fact that Candy said she was worldwide last year. And then the women who showed up didn't seem very worldwide. That's what I thought the joke was. I was like, yeah, Sonia, no. Let's stick to running.
And then she's like, but she did call me ghetto and you didn't stand up for me. And she's like, no, she didn't call you ghetto. She called your followers ghetto. And she's like, oh, okay. Oh, these fake classy bitches kill me. You know, like their fans are like all super class. They just laugh, you know. So
yeah.
I like that Candy's like, I'm going to keep this friend for now, but you're on notice, ma'am.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Marlo and William are now we're getting people are doing things around Atlanta. Marlo and her nephew William are choosing shoes. And then Drew is making breakfast and feeding Ralph. And Sonia's FaceTiming Ross. And she's saying, like, oh, my God, I miss Ross. I miss you. And she goes, how are we going to have this baby if you're always traveling? I can't even get a FaceTime because he's always in Austin. You know, I like them together and I don't want to say red flag, but it's a little red flaggy to me.
When your husband literally moves to a different state to start a business that he could have started in this state, yeah. You might. But also, if you can't find time to fuck when your husband has access to tons of really nice cars, I mean, am I the only one who's enjoyed the back seat? That's what they're made for, okay? Get over there. So then we go to Blaze Restaurant, presented by Candy and Todd.
So Candy and Todd walk into Blaze Steak and Seafood.
But also thank you to the country of Toronto for allowing us to. It was like movie credits. What? Presented by, because the sign says Blaze presented by Candy and Todd. I love a restaurant with Toronto credits. Yeah. We'd like to thank the city of Toronto.
In association with Paramount Pictures, in a world where there's no steakhouses in this side of town. So,
in a world where burgers aren't made out of crabs. Dun, dun, dun.
This fall, a steakhouse arrives. So, Blaze Steak and Seafood, which I went on their Instagram, and it says an elevated steakhouse, so Candy and Todd walk in, and Candy's saying, she's like, you know, Todd, I think you did an amazing job putting this place together, but for some reason, it's just not connecting as our other restaurant is. I'm like, is it your 2.5 stars on Yelp? Maybe that's the disconnect.
Yeah, I wonder what it is. So she's like, you know, it's the side of town. Because the side of town it's on is more of an urban side. And when we first opened, that was more of a hot area. But then the pandemic, you know, fucked everything up. You know, which makes sense. And so then comes in Philip, which is nice to know that he's actually a real manager for them and not just someone on Candy's spinoff show.
Yeah, he's a real manager, and because he was on Candy and the Gang.
Yeah, because didn't he seem like an actor on that show? He's so gorgeous.
He did.
He's like, we are going to have a fight now. I am very angry with
you. Like, I am, my cheekbones are very angry. My perfect cheekbones are angry at you because I am stern.
Yeah.
So Philip and so Philip shows up and they're gonna taste some of the new food because Todd has faith that this restaurant can come back. It's gonna do it. And by the the reason I went on to the Instagram because I just was curious about the restaurant and it was so funny. They showed like a picture for like brunch, and it was like two mimosas. And they put like each like champagne flute just had like a giant wedge of orange sitting on top of it. Not like a little slice that you put on the side. It was like they quartered an orange and put each quarter just resting on top of the glass. And I was like, yeah, see, like it's like just presentational aspects like this. I think this is where the disconnect is.
We made a meeting.
I have mimosa concerns about this restaurant, guys.
You know where my concerns go a little bit further? The Mexican restaurant. I've got to say it. I've said it a million times, but I've got to say it. When he says, so are you ready for the Mexican restaurant? She's like, why, Todd? And he's like, well, I make more money than I ever have made off of restaurants. And she's like, so you're just doing it for the money? He's like, yeah.
But here's the thing. Old Lady Gang does well because it makes sense because for years we watched Candy's mom and aunts make this amazing looking food and they said, oh, let's make a restaurant out of it. And so they have this restaurant and it all makes sense. But then all of a sudden it's just
experience. It's like literally people from the show on the outside of the building. You're going there to visit Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know what I mean? It's not just a standalone thing that's doing well. It's like your own little Epcot Center or whatever.
Right.
Your own little Disney World.
Yeah, I like it. It's their own mini Epcot. And then, I don't look at Todd and say, okay, this is someone who I trust to give me, like, a good steak, you know? And then I'm definitely not looking to Todd for Mexican food, especially since he bought this Mexican restaurant space 3 years ago and hasn't even opened it yet. It just sort of doesn't give you confidence in anything. I know there was a pandemic, but still, I just don't have confidence in it.
I don't either. And then after that, he's going to have Ace's Pizza. I don't trust him with pizza. I think it's just Todd thing. I just have a thing against Todd, I think, what it is.
And also, but like, also, Lisa Vanderpump was smart. She opened up all her restaurants pretty much, like, all next to each other. So you could have that theme park experience of going from one to the next. R.I.P. Pump, though.
Well, Pump, yeah, because they were trying to charge him a lot. Whatever happened with that. But also, Villa Blanca closed first, and I think it's because it was far. It was far from the brand.
You know,
people wanted to see the Tom and Tom, the place where all the cast filmed, right? And then this place is called Blaze. Wait, what's her?
Wait, there's Blaze. The steakhouse is Blaze, and then like the Mexican restaurant's called Ole G, right? Ole G.
Olg. Wait, what?
And then
say? What place?
Didn't he say the Mexican place is called Ole G, like Ole?
Oh, like Ole G, like the.
I mean, I appreciate the pun. I'm not going to lie. I do like the pun, even though it's forced. But I am the king of the forced pun.
Okay, I get it.
But either way, I'm just not. I don't look to Todd for authority in many things, okay? And I just, like, to me, it reads of like a cash ploy. And so that's why I don't have confidence in the food. And when he even says, I'm doing it just to make money, he's like literally cashing in on their cachet. And so you just don't look to Todd and think, oh, this is going to be like great food. You know,
well, they're going to change the menu. So that's the point of the day. They're going to change the menu to really elevate it and make this elevated steakhouse work, right? So then we get Melvin. Melvin comes in a sling. Anybody who follows this stuff knows Melvin got shot in this very restaurant, right? So was it in this restaurant? Oh, no, it was.
Someone was like, I can't drink my mimosa. I can't get past the orange on top.
Well, Candy will tell us in a minute. So he comes in a sling. We know he got shot because we all read it in the papers and the blogs, if you will. And then they start eating the new food. Which, let's do something crazy, guys. We really need to do something to set ourselves apart. Shrimp scampi.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that at Red Lobster. That is not elevated, and that is not setting yourself apart. A twice-baked potato. Are you fucking kidding me?
Twice-baked potato.
And wings.
And Blaze wings.
Okay,
and then wings. Another type of wing.
And then another type of wing. Guys.
And a crab burger.
The crab burger at least sounds different. I've never heard of a crab burger, but it also sounds disgusting.
By the way, all of this food is perfectly fine, but like the problem is that they charge exorbitant prices there.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You can't say this is an elevated steakhouse and you're going to serve all this like you're going to serve this food at like a premium price point. That's where it goes wrong.
So then the producer literally, it's not producer in the diary room. A producer literally with his camera walks up to them. It's like, guys, excuse me. Love to talk about shrimp scampi. I'm sure people are going to be tuning in like crazy, but I just like to remind
all the scampi heads.
You used to be the number one show on Bravo, like literally for a decade. So I just like to wonder if we're going to actually talk about anything besides scampi and crab burgers. That would be fun. Aren't we burying the lead here? And they're like, we're not talking about it. It's like, okay, well, just.
Then Todd's like, yeah, it's a legal situation. And then it just cuts to Melvin in his sling. And then they just see the headlines like, Love B. Scott. Say what now? Employee shoots coworker at Candy Burris' Blaze Steak and Seafood Restaurant. And then Candy Burris' cousin shot in her restaurant during an argument with an employee. The employee shoots coworker during a fight at Blaze Restaurant owned by Candy Burris and Todd Tucker.
So then Candy explains that there was a gentleman who came to work late and he came to work drunk. And he went up to the cousin, who's a kitchen manager, and they went outside to hash it out. And then the guy shot Melvin. I mean, what the hell? So now, of course, nobody wants to put that on TV. But you're on a TV show. Why are you promoting the restaurant that somebody got shot in if you don't want it to be on TV? You're literally going to the scene of the crime and not wanting to talk about it.
They're trying to do a PR. They're trying to zhuzh it a little bit. Zhuzh it. I'm like, at this point, no one's in there. And now someone's been shot in there. Just close it down and save your losses. I kind of get the sense that Candy wants to close it down because she's like, you want to open up another restaurant? Like, why? Why? Like, this is costing her money, you know?
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think she's just trying to say, look, maybe I want to change this from a place that someone got shot in to a place where someone got scampied in. Okay? Let's just make this happen.
Scampi. Someone threw some scampi at someone. That's okay.
So then we hear... So we know that Kenya is playing tennis. So we go to a
wait. I just have
place.
To say, I'm sorry to interrupt. I loved Sheree's commentary on it when she goes, "We don't know when we go to Old Lady Gang if we're going to get biscuits or bullets."
Now there is a name for a restaurant.
Biscuits
or bullets. Okay, I'm into that. So then we go to see Kenya playing. She's having like a play date with Brooklyn and her friend Akila and Nazi, her daughter.
Oh my God, these little girls are so cute. So they're playing tennis. One of my favorite traditions, sarcastically, on Bravo, bad tennis. Bad tennis on Bravo. But I'll let it pass this time because they're literally children and I cannot expect them all to be tiny Martina Navratilovas. So Kenya's like, I love Akila. Her daughter and my daughter are best friends. And she has become one of my dearest friends. Can't wait to betray her later.
No kidding, right? Also, you're never going to have a star child. And I'll tell you why. Because who cares that they're only children? That's how they become Martina Navratilova. You make them get their asses up when they're 2 in the morning and swing that racket until they fucking hit something, okay? Yeah. What do you think? Beethoven it just happened to him? Okay? Beethoven, that great tennis player.
And the dog. You think that dog just became a star overnight? That was work for that dog.
Make your children work, okay? They're not too stupid to learn. They're literally bored to learn, okay? They're like little tiny computers. Wake them up, figure out how they're going to earn you some money, and get them practicing.
And voila, you have the next Jennifer Capriati.
Yeah.
So now they start talking about stuff, and Kenya's talking about getting divorced again, and she's talking about how, like, but she has talking about this guy that she met that she mentioned last week to KMC, whose real name is Roy, but it's ROI, which stands for return on investment. So I'm very concerned about this guy, because KMC, they call him Mr. KMC because the CEO and founder of Kale Me Crazy. So again, I would just like to say, I don't know. I have a bad feeling about this.
Kale Me Crazy? Are you fucking kidding me with that? Oh my God. So Akila is like, well, you know, that's great if he ends up being your guy, but there's so many guys, okay? I'll line them up for you. And Kenny's like, are you going to take me to some football games? I mean, no offense, but too late, okay? You don't need a football player. You need a football owner, a football team owner, okay? It's not player time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. She could be Mrs. Kale Me Crazy.
Could you imagine living with somebody called Kale Me Crazy? I cannot.
I would not be able to. I would not. I would like literally have it. I have a difficult time with this entire thing.
Next time I'm about to get a boner, I'm going to say Kale Me Crazy and see if it instantly kills it, because I will bet you money that it will. You know how sometimes
Kale Me Maybe.
You get like the morning boner and it's like, oh my God, like it's embarrassing. You know, if someone's there, you're like, oh God, I've got the morning boner crazy. Now to like get up and walk to the kitchen, you know, Kale Me Crazy, Kale Me Crazy, and it's gone. It's just fucking dead.
Yeah, I don't know. Because the thing is that it's like, I also don't believe that ROI is his real name either. I feel like we're already onto a second alias, and I feel like they're both like he gave himself his nicknames. I don't know. I'm more red flags all over this.
Well, it's also a Kenya relationship, and Kenya relationships are so prepaid.
Bad.
Yeah. It's like, how much money did you put on this card before you sent it to me to use? You know what I mean? I just don't trust it.
For as bad as Sheree's choice in men is, Kenya's is just as bad.
It is. The difference is that Kenya can tell them to go. Sheree has a harder time. You know, Sheree will take a lot more shit. So
remember that fake doctor that Sheree dated? She dated a fake doctor. Remember that?
A fake doctor?
There was like a fake doctor around season 4 where he called himself a doctor. Anyway, that's something for people to Google. Anywho, so speaking of Sheree, Sheree and Sonia are meeting for dinner, and Sheree's happy because she's a glamma. Not a grandma, but a glamma now, because Cairo had a baby.
Done that. Nene did it already. I'm bored. Fast forward. I don't need to hear another glamma monologue like you just invented it, Sheree. She's like, oh, a glamma is like a grandma, but instead of an R, there's an L, because it means glam, like glamorous, short for glamorous. Which is what I am. So her daughter's had the cutest baby, and they've named the baby Mecca, which I have to say, A, is a beautiful name, but it's also a lot to live up to. Okay? What if Mecca lives in a like studio apartment for a lot of her life? You know? What if Mecca doesn't like to clean? And people are like, hey, we're coming to Mecca. It's like literally the chosen land. And you're not going to clean your living room? Come on.
I just like the trend of geographical names that's going on in her family line. You know, Cairo, Mecca, you know, I'm excited to see what city's next.
Yeah. Brooklyn. There is a Brooklyn, too. They could just keep naming their kids after places.
Liechtenstein. So, so Sheree is saying that Martell felt ambushed at the party, and she also really didn't like that Kenya was calling him aggressive, and that we can't keep doing this, like, calling black men aggressive. You know, you can't just, like, go and do that.
Right. And Sonia's like, well, I mean, that's what she did to my husband when he didn't agree with her. And she's like, yeah, we can't keep doing that to people. And Sheree says, yeah, we can't keep putting these labels on these men. And then it was really funny because when he realized what was going on, he finally said, I don't give a fuck if I tried to fuck you 2 years ago. And they start laughing. And then we go back to Kenya and Akilah. And Kenya is talking about the party being crazy and that this guy DM'd her and she didn't want to keep it from Sheree. And he's acting like he didn't DM her.
Yeah. So, because Kenya's like, Montel Jordan cursing me out. And so... Yeah, Akila is basically like, this is your first time meeting him in person, and he went off on you like that? So then it goes back to... So then actually we started, I think, a new scene. This is where Sheree... Oh, no, Sheree's just talking, and she's, like, saying the same thing about, like, don't come at me with, like, half information. Like, you know, he might not have been right, but you have to take accountability for your actions, too.
Right, and Kenya's basic point is... The point is, it doesn't matter. Like, I was mad at her because she didn't say don't talk to my friends like that. Like, we've both been in abusive situations, and you just had a man in prison that made you look like a fool. I mean, how dickmatized can a person be, you know?
Yeah.
So then we go back to Drew, and we go to Drew and Ralph in the studio for another housewife singer. I know we're all really excited. Those charts are not full enough of Real Housewives with songs. I'm really glad Drew's getting in on this.
Time for Drew's Sedora. So Ralph's like, yeah, a couple months ago, Kenya told me to get in here. He tells us to the producer, and he's like, and I was like, all right, I got to come in here, have a quick session. So like, here we are, I'm ready for a big session. Because we're a happy, happy couple. Look at my big smiles. Ah.
By the way, this is a for-hire producer. This is not someone who came to them and said, hey, I want to produce your stuff. this is someone they're paying to produce their stuff, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, a lot, you know, that's how a lot of people produce their stuff. But they're pitching to their guy this whole time. You don't need to pitch it. You paid him. Just let the man put some auto-tune on some shit. He doesn't want to hear all of this.
But Drew gives her, like, origin story for why she wants to sing again. And she's like, last year, I sang Happy Birthday for one of my friends. And my notes were on. And we got to her going, Happy Birthday to you. And she's like, I was on fire that day. And I knew I had to go back to music.
And I just knew. I have so much to pour my heart out about. Music is my therapy. And he's like, yeah, we're going to talk about overall strategy and make sure she's, like, really in it. I was like, oh, that's, you know what anyone who's about to go into business with you wants to hear? That they're not sure you have any confidence, okay? And Drew's like, yeah. And then I thought, you know, I should just maybe get back in the studio. That could be fun. Or like dance, you know? Maybe I could dance again. And everything's inspired by my marriage. No one wants to hear music inspired by your marriage. What are you going to call it? Ring cam?
Crumbling.
The ring cam didn't mean a
the
thing.
The ring cam didn't mean a thing.
What the fuck are you recording over there?
I've had the Tampa of my life. So the producer's like, cool. So like, what's your dynamic working together? Like, why is he here? And she's like, well, the studio is our happy place. Like, this is where we have our connection. Look how happy we are. We are a happy couple, forever couple.
Yeah, and she's like, our communication started right on our first date. She's like, I've been doing music my whole life. It just never popped, but it is my passion. And Jay's like, okay, I'd love to work with you. Did you write the check or what? Like, how long is this going to take? This costs money. This time that we're just talking costs money.
Yeah, so Ralph's like, I want to get you a sense of what Drew sounds like. So here, listen to some music. So like playing the music and... Drew is like, I'm just having like a full circle moment, like putting out this music together. Like, I just hope that the two of us can take it to the top. I'm like, you're real Sonny and Cher, and look how that worked out for them.
And then we do find out what their music is about, which cracked me up. Well, first of all, he starts playing the piano for an acoustic version, right? And then Bravo adds in a tss, which killed me. Like, Bravo even knows this sucks, right? So Jay goes, yeah, you should do that acoustic version. It sounds good. And Ralph goes, oh, you know what we should do an acoustic version of, babe? Tiny Desk.
Tiny Desk. They, like, lose their mind saying Tiny Desk.
Their song, that song that's taken over the country, Tiny Desk.
It's like a big desk, but it's tiny. I wanted to write a letter, but I wrote a post-net instead.
It's like, what the fuck? No one wants to hear a song about a tiny damn desk.
Yeah, we'll be sure to keep an eye out for you guys appearing on Tiny Desk. I'm sure it'll be right after Jasmine Sullivan.
Tiny Desk.
Tiny Desk!
Ralph, like, literally has an aneurysm saying Tiny Desk. So now we go to the She Buys Sheree warehouse, and there's 273 orders that have to go out today. There's two ladies who are working to pack things up, and Sheree's like inspecting. She's like, these look wrinkled. Oh my gosh, we're sending out stuff like this? What? You gotta steam this stuff. And they're like, that's an extra charge. She's like,
No, never mind. It's supposed to be wrinkled. Tell them it's supposed to charge them an extra $10 for the wrinkling. Tell them I hand wrinkled this myself for that.
Hand wrinkled.
Also, I love that she's acting like she's in the Foxconn factory of She Buys Sheree clothes. It's like a ship station. It's like where Shannon Bedore records those.
My business, real for the real for real is real. We couldn't do it without ship station.
She's acting like she had to hire Frances McDormand around Christmas time to work in there. It's like, you are not an Amazon fulfillment center, Sheree.
So she tells us that she got so much love after her fashion launch, so much support, that the website crashed. And I lost a lot of money. I'm just going to say it was money. And then everyone and their mama had something to say. And then they cut to the campfire complaining. He's like, and then I went and I tried the website again. And it was still down. I fucking love that guy. Campfire is just here to report every fucking time. He's got like a down reporter on She Buys Sheree. Emergency podcast, emergency. It's me, Campfire. It's down again. It's down. I just got a 405 error. sell.
Which is more sales than she's had.
Yeah, so, shout out to that guy. If anyone is a YouTube person, he's great.
Yeah. So, and also on Twitter. So then Kenya comes over and she's like, wow, like we're in the house of Sheba and Sheree. Ah! So are you doing the quality control? You're just looking, which felt shady. Just, for some reason, I'd like detected shade. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And
but also then Sheree, because Sheree's such a fucking liar too. Because Sheree goes, oh no, everything I do by myself. You've literally got two women standing here doing it for you.
Yeah.
Like at least you throw a sheet over them and try to hide them.
He didn't even know steaming was an option. So Kenya is like, oh, this is cute. This is like the Dallas Cowboy Star, which I also felt like was shady. It's like, nice unoriginal logo you have, Sheree. And Sheree's like, yes, almost. We're just at a game. And Kenya's like, so much fun. You know, I just did this huge commercial for DirecTV with Teresa and Kyle. And like, we shot in LA for the Dallas Cowboys. And so Dak Prescott was there. And I was like, who's that quarterback? I came and sat on the set. And I was like, oh my. So basically, in summary, I did a national commercial that ran for 3 months straight on the highest rated shows on TV. And you're making sweatshirts.
Yeah. And it just was with the football team that you stole your logo from. So how are you doing? So Sheree asked about Kale for, you know, Kale for Cock or whatever that guy's name is. Kale
Mariah Carey. Yeah.
What's his name?
Kale Me Crazy.
Kale Me Crazy. And Kenya's like, oh my God, there is so much chemistry. Kale goes with so many things. So speaking of relationships, you're being claimed apparently because you were claimed by Martell at the party. And she's like, listen, we're just dating. You know, we're just dating. And she goes, well, so you have a lot in common, huh?
And Sheree's like, well, he's a Capricorn. Oh, that's so weird because I normally get along with Capricorn. So that's weird to me. And Sheree's like, what happened the other day? Let's talk about that. And Kenya's saying that she was just shocked that Martell was coming for her. And she's like, when did I deserve to be crossed out? Like, I'm waiting for that part.
And Sheree's like, well, you both got elevated like a Blaze Steakhouse. And it didn't need to go there. It didn't need to go there. Presented by Todd and Candy. And Kenya's
just like Scampi, it didn't need to go there.
Kenya's like, well, what happened is he DM'd me. And then I'm not going to accept it because I remember watching a show and I didn't like how things went down with his wife. And Sheree's like, well, I thought you'd get along with him. But, you know, look, he feels like people are ambushing him because you ambushed him, basically. Because you did. Yeah. You took his first moment on the show to make a very dramatic storyline about already cheating on me. Take it away, Kenya. Yes.
She's like, well, I don't know him and I don't want to get to know him. And that's it, huh? And so Sheree's like, we have talked so many times, and not once did you ever say to me, by the way, Sheree, this happened. She's like, oh, well, I didn't really think about it until I saw you two together. And I asked, like, is this a thing? So Sheree totally has busted Kenya on that one.
Yeah, she's such a fucking liar. My God. So then Sheree's like, well, then Sheree comes out with her own lie. And she's like, well, I'd already seen the message because he showed me that DM and you said 6 months. You said 6 months. She goes, I said it was at least 6 months ago. And we see her saying that. And then Sheree's like, yeah, well, when I met Martell, we just got into this place. We were so close. We told each other everything. And he told me he once DM'd Kenya. And so that's why I was like, low key, like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Like, what did he say? Because I knew it wasn't flirtatious. I knew there was nothing to it. I was like,
I guarantee that did not come up. The single DM from 2020.
Nope.
That did not come up.
No way.
So,
because she would have asked Kenya about it. She would have asked Kenya to make sure that this guy wasn't going for Kenya. So they're both lying at each other.
And Kenya's like, was it so offensive to him that he felt he had to curse and disrespect me? Sheree's like, well, I think you'd like him if you know. And she's like, the man was so disrespectful to me. And Sheree's like, but you were too. And Kenya's like, but you can't do that, Sheree. You can't do that. You know, bros before hoes. And Sheree goes, wouldn't it be hoes before bros? No, we're the bros in this case, Sheree. Keep up.
Right. We're the bros. I'm very confused. Do the bros have the star logo?
That's the Cowboys.
Cowbros? Okay, Cowbros, is that what we're calling them now?
So Sheree's like, I'm appalled. She should be apologizing. And she's just mad she got caught. So she can attack him. But now she says she's being attacked. And that's not how it works. Okay, you're right. Kenya did come at Martell in the first episode because she already hated him and had this preloaded to embarrass you. You're correct. However, Martell also acted like a crazy, abusive asshole and a monster to women. And he can't fucking act like that either. So yeah. I say both incorrect.
Congratulations, you're all wrong. So then Kenya's like, well, what offended me? She's like, I get a lot of DMs. And then he said, I bet you answer all of them? No, that's crazy. He's basically saying I'm a whore.
And Sheree goes, I didn't hear that. And then we see a clip of Sheree very clearly hearing that and then laughing. And then Kenya's like, he's trying to say I'm a hoe. And she goes, oh my God, Kenya. I like when Sheree gets, she gets so gutturally laughing that she's like, oh, Kenya.
It's funny because they're like fighting, but they're also laughing at the same time.
They're so determined to stay friends for the season, but it's really hard.
Yeah. So Sheree is like, she's like, there's no way I would have that reaction if someone said, I bet you check all your DMs. I'd be like, they wish I did. And she's like, it wouldn't trigger me at all. Nothing at all. Like, you're trying to make something out of nothing. It never went anywhere. Never went. Nothing happened anyway. And she goes, you can hold him accountable for how he acted towards me. A man should never act that way towards a woman, whether he's angry or not, ever. It's unacceptable.
So it's okay. It's okay for you to get in his face. And she's like, well, if I'm defending myself against something I started, yes. And she's like, so when he's defending himself, it's not okay to speak. And she's like, yes, he can speak, but he can't speak abusively. Like, what aren't you getting? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Sheree's like, okay, Kenya first said Ross was aggressive because he defended Sonya. And now Martell defends himself and you call him a piece of shit. What is your issue with calling black men aggressive? Are they public enemy number one because you don't have one? So then Kenya starts
boom.
It's a big boom.
Yeah.
Because that is kind of Kenya's, that's like one of Kenya's insecurities. Like, it comes up in a second. She's often been like, you guys all have men. I'm the only one who doesn't have a man. And so she clearly has like a trigger point about not having a man with her in these situations that kind of like makes her, I think, unsettled.
So she's like, you know, you need to look at your past and what you've allowed. You know, when Bob was saying that shit in the car, like, you still not learned. There's a sign. There's like a sign when men talk to women that way, it's a sign that they're not good. Like, they'll go further, you know? And she's like, there's never a scenario where it's okay for a man to speak to a woman like that. And listen, that's a really dark place to take it to, like, prior abuse. But yes. I think she's allowed to do that because she has gone through it. And Sheree went through it on the show. And not to mention, she's totally correct, I think, about that.
I think she's correct too, actually. I think they both have had, there's some, obviously something in their upbringing or whatever has caused them to be drawn to these guys in some way. And I'm not putting like the blame on them, but it's like one of those dynamics that happen. And, you know, I think Kenya's kind of like, you know, they both understand the situation, right? And so it is dark, but it's true, I feel like. So basically, but Sheree is sort of saying, like, you have to stop labeling these black men and black women. And Kenya's like, Sheree, don't turn this around on me. You know, I was like standing up for myself and everyone else out here with a man, and like everyone else is out here with a man. And like, here we go. I'm out here by myself and a man is talking crazy to me. And
she's like, Kenya, what do you need? She's just like, what do you need to get past this? And she goes, we're just going to have to agree to disagree, which I don't think has ever happened in Kenya's life. So that'll be, or Sheree's.
This will come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this will come back.
Yeah. Now we're going to have Sheree, Marlo, and now this Courtney chick, if Courtney stays on, versus Kenya. So it should be pretty fun.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. I have to say, so far, I am feeling good about the season so far. Next week's preview looked really good. And I don't know if I would go so far to be like, oh, Martell he's going to be an abuser, but he definitely looks like he's going to be disrespectful to Sheree. So
Kenya's using one word abuser to kind of umbrella all kinds of abuse, you know, which may not be the fairest, you know, because there's emotional abuse, there's physical abuse, which is obviously worse. But I think that if a man shows you that kind of disrespect, if a man is willing to like fuck you and all that stuff in public, yelling at a woman, it's not a good sign with how they're going to be in private in general.
Nope, but I guess we'll have all season to make further judgment calls.
Yes, we sure will. So thank you to everybody for being here today. This is also a Crappens On Demand video. We're going to have a bunch of those coming up. So if you would prefer to watch this instead of listening to it, come to Patreon and check out the different tiers there. We sure love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas,
she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ruru LaRue.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a Cannon Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.